Amen. Boy, it's good to be here, isn't it? I tell you, no better place in the world to be in God's house, meeting with God's people. And I thought many times over my lifetime serving God, how blessed it is to be able to serve God around other people that love God. I thought about how it would be to be in a country where you were the only born-again believer. And, man, that would be hard, wouldn't it? We're blessed to have one another. And I know you folks, and I know that we love one another. And that's a big deal. And it's real, isn't it? It's real. We've been around that false stuff, and that's not what we have here. And I tell you, it's a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to get to preach to you. And I got something on my heart that I believe is very, very serious, and always is, I guess. But if you take your Bibles, I want you to stay in your Bible with me tonight. I want you to be looking at verses. It seems like when we look at things, it's better. You can look on the screen maybe if you need to. But if God would do something to give us understanding about what He want me to preach to you, teach to you, I believe it'd be an awesome thing for every one of us. So if you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and let me just say this about this chapter before when we start reading, we're going to start in verse 8. But before this, God's dealing with the end time. He's dealing with the day of the Lord. And He's dealing with lost people. And He's dealing with saved people. You know, there's a vast difference in lost and saved people when the Lord comes. I mean, it's a done deal then. And he deals with people walking in darkness and says of us believers that we walk in light. And we're children of light. And he talks about men living in darkness. And we live in a dark world today. And we live in a world that's going to be very shocked when the Lord comes. But He's coming. And we're not going to be preaching on His coming tonight. But in the context of His coming, we need to understand what He'd have me to say to you tonight. But He's coming. And we need to be conscious of His coming. He talks about whether we awake or sleep in this text, that we need to be in Him. And so at all times, the things that we're going to look at tonight, at all times in our life, they're very, very important that we be in Christ. So if you'd stand, reverence in God's Word, if you're able, and let's start in verse 8 and read down through 24 if we could. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In verse 8, look what God says. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Talking about our pastor. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Boy, that's a long list. We're going to go over it again in just a minute. And look what it says now. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray you I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. I'd like for us to think about tonight down here in verse 23, where it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Can you imagine being sanctified wholly? Does that mean part of you? It means all of you. Wholly sanctified. Pray with me. Father, I pray that you'd bless us tonight. Father, every person here needs this. And Father, I just pray that you will bless our heart tonight. Spirit of God, you'd teach us. I pray that you'd help us to understand. Lord, please, that we're to be set aside only to you. I pray for us tonight, Lord. I think most people here know you as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we need to be set aside to you. I pray for us. Help us to understand this great promise. And we'll thank you for it. Help us to say yes to you tonight. I pray, Spirit of God, you'd show us ourselves tonight. I pray you'd show us where we're to be. And that we would even be set apart wholly, sanctified wholly tonight. Oh, Lord, please help me. Preach through me tonight. I pray for liberty. You say that needs to be said. Father, as I gave Brother Jim scriptures tonight, I don't even know all if you want all of those, but whatever you want said, would you please say it? And we'll be careful to thank you and to praise you. Open our hearts now to your precious word. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. You can be seated. So as we think about this thing of being in the light and being born again, you know the Lord wants everybody born again. He's not willing that any should perish. It's just a wonderful thing to think about how complete he is in his will for people. He didn't make hell for people. Devil and his angels, if I read scripture right. And he wants everybody to be saved. John 3:16, very big verse, but listen at 14. I'm going to read down through 18 real quick. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have, now he says, everlasting life. That's unusual, isn't it? Eternal life and everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world, condemned the world through him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, he wants everybody saved. He's not willing for them to perish. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's a big deal, this thing about being born again. I remember when I got born again. You remember that, amen? If you're born again, you can't forget that. It's an awesome thing that happened to me when I got born again. Now, he's talking here to a church. He's talking here to people that are born again. The people that have believed in Jesus Christ with all their heart. With a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With a mouth, confession is made to salvation. So if we've been born again and we're his, then he's given some great instructions here. Some tremendous instructions. Isn't it wonderful that he says that we're not appointed under wrath? We're not appointed. We're not going through the tribulation. Some people believe we are, but we're not. We're not appointed to hell. Because we're born again in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Amen. And so he wants us to have this full life. He wants us to understand, as a born-again believer, what our place in him really is. A vast majority of people today that think when they say the sinner's prayer, and that they have done all that they need to do. And that's not true. Listen, it's just begun. Life just begun when we got born again. And there's more to being born again than just praying. I quoted to you about the heart. It's a heart thing. And Jesus says, nay, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. So salvation is a big deal, and it's real. And when it's real, it's eternal. And when it's real, there's a plan for our life as born-again believers. And some of us talk about growing in the grace of God. Some of us have understood some of that in our present life. But listen, God wants to take us all the way, if you please, as believers. Here and now. And this is a big thing. So he tells us some things here. He lists 17 things here that we need to do as believers. 17 things that we're supposed to be doing. Now that's big, isn't it? Now I want us to take, that's why I want you to keep your Bible open. I want you to look at it. And he talks in verse 10 now, whether we sleep or wake, we're to live together with him. Now, Paul said, I die daily. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I live in Christ now. This is where we live, sleep or wake, full time in Christ Jesus. Now, this is big. Most people don't understand this. Most people think, well, I'm a Christian, I'll go to church on Sunday morning. Huh? It's more than that. It's more than even coming on Wednesday night. Yeah. Hey, this is just fun time for us. Amen? Yeah, this is real. This is wonderful. Now, he says in verse 11, now he starts on this thing. He says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as ye also do. Now, I want to ask you, where would gossip fall in this verse? Where would judging fall in this verse? Where would high-nosing an individual fall in this verse? It's not to be a part of our life, right? And we're to comfort one another. The Bible even says we're to bear one another's burdens. Listen, we're to pray for one another. We're for one another as born-again believers. To edify, to build up one another. Encourage one another. We need encouragement, don't we? Everybody's got their own burdens to bear. Everybody's got trials. And we need to know that brothers and sisters in the Lord are praying for us. And when we see one another, we ask about it, we encourage it. Brother James trying to encourage me a while ago, asking about my hip and all this. This is a good thing. We care, and we comfort, and we build up one another. We edify one another. This is one of the requirements. One of the requirements to be sanctified. Wake or sleep. Now, remember, 24/7. This is us. This is what we're to be. Now look at verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You're talking about pastor. I tell you what, I have pastored. And I have had people that just think I walked on the clouds. And I've had that same people do everything they could to ruin my ministry. Up, down. Up, down. People leave because of who here? Pastor. Huh? People come because of pastor most time. But here he gives clear instructions about how we're to be awake and asleep. How we're to be 24/7. We're to hold him and admonish him and have him in high esteem. Listen, he's just a human being, but he's a man of God. And when we honor that position, it's a blessing to us. Don't you let anybody run pastor down to you. Don't let them do it. Don't do this. I wasn't here a month or 2 months when we came here. We were out door knocking. I was with Mickey. And we knocked on a door, and this man and wife come to the door, and I told them who I was and where I was from this church. And immediately they started tearing into pastor. I mean, they give him the what for. Oh, they name things, and they name things. And I said, listen, I've known him for close to 40 years, and I love him in the Lord. And he's not perfect, but he is a man of God. And you need to pray about how you feel about him. I did that. I did not say, well, oh, yeah, let me listen to more. Huh? You see, He admonishes us. He preaches to us. He loves us. He prays for us. We got to get this settled. He will correct you if he loves you, and he does love you. That's okay. You need it. Love him. Love him. Be real. We got to be here. All of these we got to be. Be at peace among yourselves. Listen, if I offend you, if ever I offend you, please come tell me. Please come tell me. I beg you to tell me, because I don't intend to do that. Because I love you. And it ought to be that way between me and you. And you and you. We should not let the devil come between us, ever. We're a body of believers. We're a local New Testament church. We band together. We're for one another, and we're for the Lord, and he's for us. Have peace among yourselves all the time. Listen, you don't have to even think of the words to ask me, to talk to me if I offend you. You just come say, Brother Martis, you offended me, and this is what I understood. Just put it plain. Because I love you, I will receive it. And if I've offended you and I've actually done what you said, I'll apologize. I'll do anything I can to make it right. And you will too, right? But we got to have this peace. We don't want this section over here setting because they don't want to set with this section. Huh? And we don't want y'all to think you're the holy rollers. Peace. Peace. Now we exhort you, brethren, verse 14, look at it. Warn them that are unruly. It doesn't say get on the phone. It doesn't say go tell Brother James to get him to straighten it out. It says you do it. Warn them. Now we love one another, right? Warn them. That's touchy, isn't it? We got to be there. It's the Word of God. Comfort the feeble-minded. Now, this is where you're really going to help me. Hey, everybody in here don't have the same IQ you do. And everybody in here don't understand the Word of God like you do because you're the greatest person on planet Earth. Huh? So God's serious here. Don't you think that anybody is lesser than you? Don't do it. Don't do it. Socially, economically, mentally. Hey, we're all special creatures made by God. Look what he says. Support the weak. Oh, this brother, this sister, they're having trouble understanding what's preached and taught. They just can't seem to get there. Maybe they need you to hug them and love on them and encourage them and pray with them. Support the weak. I think these are monstrous things. What do you think? Monstrous things. Here's one that just really burns me. Be patient toward all men. Some people just deserve a good punch, don't they? But God says, whether I'm awake or asleep, I'm to be patient towards all men. That's people that are rebelling against God. That's people that are in church that's attacking pastor. That's people that are attacking me. Whatever it is. Oh, God, help me to show patience. Oh, God, help me to help that person. That ought to be their first thought. Help me to help them. Patient toward all men. See that you that none render evil for evil. We're not going to punch them. We're not going to do it. If they need punching, God will have to do it. Never evil for evil. Never. I just believe this will help the church. What do you think? This will help us. Now, this is an individual thing. All of these, if you're born again, are to be in you. Every one of these. Never follow that which is good. Always follow that which is good. Always, without exception. You don't take a break on God. Always. That which is good. Both among yourselves, your church, both here, we're always going to do good for one another. Well, that's easy. Huh? To all men. To all men. You check on the life of my Savior. He did it. To all men. To all men. Red, yellow, black, and white. Huh? Rich, poor. They really got upset at him for eating with sinners. They did. Now, all of these things, everything we've listed here from verse 10 down to verse 15 are how we as born-again believers live toward other people, toward others. Pastor quoted it one time. I've got it in my Bible here. I carry it with me all the time. If I could sing, I'd sing it right now. The song called Others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, Lord, that I might live like Thee. All of these that we've talked about, all this time we spent, is toward other people. If I'm going to be the light of this world, I'm going to be a light to other people, right? Others. I guess we've all been, if we've lived very long, we've all been through a thing about me and mine. We've got to get over that. So much of our life has got to be absolutely all the time for other people. Listen, how you treat other people really matters how you represent God. It really matters to God how you treat His creation. It really matters to God, especially how we treat one another as a church. I don't know how you feel. I want to be able to count on you. And I want you to be able to count on me. Huh? That we're for one another. I want to count on you to be here. When you're not here, I miss you. And I hope you miss me when I'm not here. But listen, it ought to be like that. It's others. And then he starts to deal with me. With me and you as Christians. All of these we have to do now. He says, rejoice evermore. We've got not to be a gloom and doomer. We've not got to get out from under the cloud. We've got to have joy of the Lord. This is one thing that all you talk about, hours and hours of prayers. Paul went on to be with my Lord. I lost my joy. It was killing me. He said, evermore. I can't let things take my joy of the Lord. My rejoicing, my worshiping, my loving on my Lord. Huh? All the time. All the time. Pray without ceasing. Well, I don't know how many people I've asked, do you pray? Yeah, I pray every night before I go to bed. I've often wondered what they said. But biblically, we pray all the time. To be in an attitude of prayer, heart of prayer. And whenever you get a second, you're talking to God. Huh? Now this is our life. This is the life of a born-again believer. Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything be thankful. I preached on this out at home, and I said, I first got into this verse years ago. I thought, well, if I break my leg, I've got to be thankful my leg's broke. That's not what it's saying. It's saying if my leg's broke, I'm still thankful. Yeah, so no matter what's happening. I mentioned my sweetheart. I'm so glad she's with the Lord. I am so thankful that how happy and rejoicing my sweetie is. I can give thanks for that. And here's one. Remember, all of these, every one of these, you're supposed to have. Quench not the Spirit. I beg you in the name of my precious Lord Jesus Christ. I beg you. I beg you with all my heart. When you hear the Word of God preached, when you're studying God's Word, when you come across it in God's Word, however it is, and you don't have it, I beg you to quit thinking on it. Do it. Do it. Be you doers of the Word and not hearers only. Do it. Who are you to argue with God if He saved your soul? When God tells you to be like this, be like this. When He tells you something else out of His Word, do that thing. But I can't. For some reason, He just popped in my mind something. And I've kind of argued with Him about it, but I think He wants me to say it. I was visiting a hospital years ago, and this guy brought it up. And he said, "Preacher, I just can't afford to tithe." And I said, "You can't." He said, "No, I can't afford to tithe. I'd like to tithe, but I can't afford to tithe." I said, "The Bible says you're supposed to tithe. And it says it plain. The tenth belongs to God." He said, "Well, I just can't afford it." I said, "Sound like to me you need to stop some of your living. You need to cut some of your bills. Don't use God's money for you." And he said, "I just can't afford it." He never did understand it. And the reason he couldn't afford it was because he wasn't doing it. That's the sum total of the reason. It's not about money. It's about obedience to God. God can get along just fine without your tithe. But you can't. And God can get along just fine if you don't keep His commands. But you can't. These are serious things. Dare we say no to God the Holy Spirit? Oh, wow. I've done it. And I'm ashamed of it. But dare we do it again? So if we don't do it again, He might just sanctify us. Now, despise not prophecy. Prophesying. Preaching. Everybody likes hard preaching until it comes on them. Until it's your sin on the screen. And then he's meddling. Don't despise God's Word. Don't do it. It'll hurt you. It'll kill your relationship with God. Don't despise Bible preaching. When it's called out of sin, it's a sin. When it's called out a doing thing, it's a doing thing. And you're to do it if you're a born-again believer. I love 21. Prove all things. I'm going to tell you something tonight. My God is provable. Absolutely provable. Everything He says, you can take it to the bank, so to speak, and you can count on it. He's faithful to what He says, and He changes not. I love that He changes not. Prove it. Prove it. Back to, if He says tithe, I didn't have no intent of mentioning money. But if He says tithe, you just prove Him. Start tithing. If He says go soul winning, prove Him. Go soul winning. If He says not forsake the assembling of yourselves, the matter of assembling yourselves as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another as much more as you see the day approaching, prove Him. Come. Yeah. Hold fast that which is good. My goodness, when we understand a principle of God's Word, we ought to take it in our life, and it ought to be settled for the rest of eternity we're here. I'm not changing. I tell you what, I just get so hurt for people that hear preaching, and they start doing it, and a little while they don't do it anymore. They never did believe it. Hold fast that which is good. Keep it. Do it. Live it. Here's one we don't like. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul said this, if eating meat offend my brother, I won't eat meat. Even though you're not doing something wrong, if it looks wrong to some people, you've got to get out of it. The appearance of evil. The appearance of it. You can tell a dirty joke without saying the dirty words. And that's sin. We don't even want to think evil. We want the mind of Christ. Now what I want to tell you, if we will do these things, God says something here that's just profound to me. He says, and, could I say then, and, verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. You saying, Brother Martin, that if I do these things, God will sanctify me wholly, completely, 100%? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what God's saying. That's exactly what God is saying. And it's so important that we understand this thing. The God of peace. The God of peace. My, what a wonderful God our God is. I love Him. I love His peace. I love who He is. When He shows up, there's just peace. I remember when He saved me and Holy Spirit come to live in me, the first feeling I had was peace. It was just peace, just flooded my soul. That's who He is. And what a great thing it is. Romans 15:33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A vast multitude of Christians have believed the lie that they can't do what God says. But God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It's time we just believe God. It's time we believe what God tells us to do. It's time we love Him back and keep His commandments. It's time we live righteous, holy lives. That's what these verses are saying. My goodness gracious. He'll do it. He'll do it. This God of peace will sanctify you wholly. Sanctification means to be set apart and separated unto God. Now get a hold of this. Can 100% of me be set aside here and now for God. I think I've shared with you before, I figured out sometime a long time ago, all I'm good for is to serve God. It's all I'm good for. And I have to do that in Him and in His strength. God of peace will set me apart and separate me unto Himself. Holy. That's not H-O-L-Y. That's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy, completely. I don't know about you, but I want it. I want to be in Christ in that way. If I read my Bible right, when I get here, He'll take care of everything. I'm not saying He'll make me wealthy. I'm not saying He'll give me 1,000 years on planet Earth. But He will be absolutely for me. To be sanctified, set apart. It's a great thing when a person, born again person, decides in their heart that my life is a gift from God. And it's to be lived, not for me, but for God. The Holy Spirit will teach me these 17 things. The Holy Spirit will help me to live these 17 things. He'll help me to live for others in this way, and He'll help me live in my relationship to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and God my Father this way. And I can do this in Christ. It's the will of God in Christ. In John 17, my precious Lord prayed, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Set them apart for me with thy word. Does that make study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, right, divine word of truth, explode? It does. It makes it just explode. It makes my being a Bible believer, my being a Bible studier, just explode. Because that'll bring to pass these great principles in my life. That'll bring to pass this place where God can just take me unto Himself. See, can't be. It can be. See, He wouldn't do that for me. Yes, He will. Sometimes it seems to me that Christians are more afraid they're going to overdo things for God than to turn loose for God and let God be God. It's so big and so real. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This that I'm teaching to you or preaching to you tonight is comes from Him just like redemption. It's in His plan. It's what He wants for us. Glory to His wonderful name. Great, great, great thing. 2 Timothy 2:21 says this, if a man therefore purge himself from these, and that's talking about profane and vain babbling, false doctrines, talking about the false doctrines of the resurrection. He's talking about sin. But if a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Every good work. All I need is just this thing of God placing me in this place with Him, that I'm just His, and He'll work through me. And this is God's plan. This is God's way. Listen to 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect, it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Sanctification of the Spirit. He glorifies Jesus, setting me apart for the precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is it possible? Absolutely. He will, if you will. There's a lot of that in God's Word. He will, if you will. It goes on. I'm trying to hurry now. This is my main point, but it's still good. He says, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if we could say that I'm blameless now. I don't know. The spirit, the soul, and the body. The spirit is your breath, your life, your thinking, your reasoning. Your soul is your immortal being. And you know about the flesh, the body. Notice he says that all of you, sanctified, holy, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that says to an old country boy? That says that I can please him. In him, I can please him.
Who?
That's too deep for waiters. I tell you what, it's something else. Blameless. Blameless. You can do it now, Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's now. That's now. In Jesus, sanctified, set aside to Him. Now, Colossians 1:22, in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Oh my. Now, and that is coming. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. This passage is even talking about judgment. If we have this, if we meet the requirements, and we yield ourselves, and we take Bible principles, and we let God give them to us, and we take them and we live them, He will set us apart for Himself. And we will be blameless. And when we go before Him, it won't be, oh, woe is me. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have done that. I wish I could have been this. And I wish I could have been that. It'll be a great, exciting time of reward. We'll be so thankful. We'll just be it'll be awesome. He'll give you crowns and He'll bless you forever and ever and ever and ever. So many, we just take it. Pardon me. Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then He gives us assurance. He will do it. In verse 24, faithful is He that calleth you, who will also do it. He calls us to Himself. And He will set us aside to Himself. Oh. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants to live in us. The Father, the husbandman of John 15, wants to prune us. He wants to make us a vessel of honor to Him. And just for Him we live. To glorify Him we live. He wants us to know for sure He wants us to have full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There's that word again. You know something? I just can't imagine why He wants to have me. I can't even imagine why He'd want to die for me. But why He would want to have me. And why He would want to have an intimate relationship with me. And why He would want to live in this world through me. But He does. He does. And He wants me to understand completely that He does it. He's faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:23 says. Got a couple more verses and I'm going to try to close. You're not going anywhere with God, a born-again believer, if you don't have full assurance in Him. If you don't believe He's provable, if you don't believe He's trustworthy, if you don't believe He's love, if you don't believe He's only good for you, He's the only good you'll ever know. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. Listen, it's Him. And He wants us to have full assurance. He wants us to walk with Him. In 1 John chapter 1, he deals with this thing of not walking with Him and say we do. Saying we have fellowship with Him and we don't have fellowship with Him because our walk's not right. If our walk's not right, if we're not doing these things and other things that He commands in His Word and our walk is not right and pleasing unto Him, fellowship is not good. In 1 John 1:5, listen. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He's talking to Christians. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If I do these things He's talked about in our text, He will set us aside for Himself and we will have tremendous, glorious, precious fellowship with Him. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. If we love Him, we will keep His commandments. If we love Him, He will do great things for us. And I believe the greatest is to sanctify us, set us apart just for Him. You remember the man that walked with God, and God just took him. We need to walk with God. Let Him live in us. And one day He'll just come for us too. If you will, He will. I wish I had the vocabulary to tell you how great it is to just be His. And not some of you His and some of you your own. You're never going anywhere with God like that. But I want my way about this. It don't matter what God says. You want it because it's right. A lot of people today say, I'm going to dress like I want to. I'm going to go where I want to go. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And when I die, I'm going to heaven because I'm born again. That's oil and water. That don't mix. That don't mix. If you will, He will. Let's stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh, dear God. If you would tonight, I want to ask you, please, to open our hearts to this. Lord, I've had liberty teaching this, preaching this. I just pray, God, that you'll help us and help me. I want you to have all of me. I've told you that many times. I've told you that today. Lord, if I'm holding anything back from you, I pray that you'll show it to me tonight. Father, help us all to pray like that. Lord, it would change our lives. It would make serving you a joy. It would make fellowshipping with you the most precious thing we know. Please help us tonight. Father, we started out talking about you wanted everybody to be saved. If there's somebody here tonight that's not saved, would you help them to come and we'll take the Word of God and show them how to be saved? But Lord, let us draw nigh to you tonight. Convict us where we need it. Encourage us where we're serving. Help us in all these attributes that you tell us we're supposed to have. Please, Father, sanctify us unto yourself. Bless now in this time. In your wonderful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you.